Michael, can you tell us a bit more about your analysis of the problem of education? You talked about dumbing down behaviour problems and this faddy ideology. Can you kind of spell that out for us?
Yes, there's a phrase that lots of people have used, and I'm perfectly happy to use, which is the educational establishment. And by that I mean those people who've been in charge, for example, at the QCA, now the QDCA. I also mean some of the people who've been advising government in the Department of Children, Schools and Families, and others who've influenced the way in which our curriculum has been shaped, our examinations have changed over time. My view is that their analysis of how education should be run isn't shared by the majority of parents or people in this country, and that the sorts of principles in schools which I think are highly successful, like Mossbourne Community Academy, run counter to what the educational establishment argue for. If you look, for example, specifically at the question of the curriculum, you'll see that Jim Rose, in his recommendations for changes to the primary curriculum, wants to move away from subject-based learning towards cross-cutting themes. So instead of children at primary school learning history and geography, they will be folded in to the sort of project-based learning which has been fashionable in some academic circles, which runs completely counter not just to parental wishes, but also to the evidence about what actually generates pupil engagement and an improvement in standards.
Is this a traditional versus progressive education route?
Well, I think it's important to recognise that the phrase progressive, as I think the Times argued, is probably one of the most promiscuously used phrases in the English language. But progressive education has come to mean a particular approach which is antithetical to knowledge, opposed to traditional subjects, and which downplays the role of the teacher and sees the child essentially discovering facts and knowledge and the world for itself, with the teacher as a sort of learning coach. Now, I think that's wrong. I think that what we crucially need to do is to recognise that the sort of knowledge-based curriculum, divided into appropriate subjects, with teachers who have deep subject knowledge and a passion for the subject that brought them into education, that sort of approach is right. I don't think that's traditional, because actually those schools which have had the opportunity to move outside bureaucratic control have adopted it, and those schools which are in America, for example, like the KIPP schools, the Knowledge is Power Programme schools, doing their best to transform the life chances of black and minority ethnic children, they adopt that approach. So tried and tested, yes. Traditional, well, you know, different people will take a different approach to that phrase.
Do you include teachers and teacher unions in the education establishment?
I don't include teachers, no. One of the things I've been struck by is the way in which, in the very, very best countries when it comes to educational attainment, the role of the teacher isn't just central. The role of the teacher in society as a figure of, prestige and esteem is universally accepted. So if you look, for example, at Finland, it's the case that the only people who go into teaching are those who are in the top 10% of university graduates. It's the same, or similar actually, in places like Singapore and South Korea. Now, we want to move in that direction. We've got some plans to try and raise the bar for entry into the teaching profession in order to enhance further the prestige and esteem of teaching. And I talked today a little bit more about why we need to get even more talented people into teaching. So absolutely not. What we need to do is to value the role of the teacher.
Do you need to get rid of some teachers as well?
Well, I think it's important that heads should have the freedom to have the teaching staff that they believe is right for the job. But it's certainly not for me to say that X or Y is not the sort of person who should be in the classroom. The whole point of our approach is to make sure that head teachers have the freedom to manage, and crucially, the freedom to recruit and to reward and to promote really talented people, in order to ensure that all our children spend their time in the classroom with the most gifted individuals possible.
Are you comfortable with plans to freeze public sector pay and for teachers in particular?
I don't think anyone is comfortable with the thought that we're freezing public sector pay. I don't think anyone, certainly not George Osborne, would want to be in a position where we have to contemplate it. But George realises, the Shadow Cabinet realises, that the economic mess in which we find ourselves requires us to take some tough decisions about public spending. If we don't tackle the deficit, then what we will find is that the country's credit rating is devalued. The cost of borrowing will increase. The amount available for education in the future will diminish. And I don't want our country to be in that position. And crucially, I don't want to see people leaving the profession and leaving the classroom. One of the reasons for asking people to acknowledge the need for a pay freeze is to make sure that we don't lose teachers in the private sector when people are offered the choice between shedding jobs and accepting a pay freeze. People have chosen a pay freeze. Now, I want to ensure that in the public sector, we apply the same sorts of principles, that we do everything we can to keep people in their jobs, to keep people in teaching. And that's why I believe we need to take this step.
One of your arguments for academies and for freeing up paying conditions is to allow schools to pay teachers more. How do you square that with a pay freeze?
Because we recognise that the total wage bill for teaching has to stay static because the extra money isn't there. But within the resources that we give to schools, it's appropriate that heads and others should be able to exercise appropriate discretion. If you look at any good organisation, then it devolves responsibility down to strong managers, and therefore we want to devolve responsibility down to heads to use that money as creatively as they think. If they can find, through generating efficiencies in other areas, ways of ensuring that teachers can be supported, and indeed that teachers can be supported through continuous professional development, then fantastic.
Are you expecting a fight with the unions over all of this?
I really enjoy all the conversations I have with trade unions. And Chris Keats, Christine Blower, Mary Boosted, John Dunford, Mick Brooks are all committed to improving state education. So I'm looking forward to working with them and harnessing their enthusiasm for improving state education if we're fortunate enough to be entrusted with government.
And replacing their members with ex-army professionals. Can you tell us a bit more about your troops to teachers plan?
Yes, we believe that if you look at people who've been in the forces, one of the things that they've done in many cases is be involved in training. Crucial for ex-warrant officers or ex-officers is the knowledge that they've spent their career taking young men and women, often from unstructured and difficult backgrounds, and turning them into, I think, you know, the finest advertisement, you know, for our country and its virtues. I know that there are individuals who've been involved in the armed forces who wanted to move into teaching. In fact, the number one sort of wish for people who've been in the army when it comes to areas that they're thinking of moving into is education or training. So I think it would be fantastic to see people with that sort of background in the classroom. I think that we need to broaden the range of backgrounds that bring people into teaching, and I think that we need to recognise that the professionalism that leaders in the army have shown is exactly the sort of professionalism the country admires and that parents would love to see in some of our schools.